There are more Americans working in the so-called gig economy now than 5 years ago. But even with those gains, just 1.6% of workers nationally have taken part. And of those that do gig work, like driving and delivery or renting out their homes, most do so for just a few months a year. Those are among the findings of a new study from the J.P. Morgan Chase Institute, which also shows about 1.5% of Arizonans took part in the gig economy, which is among the highest rates in the country. With me to talk about the results and other numbers via Skype is Eileen Applebaum, co-director at the Center for Economic and Policy Research in D.C. And Eileen, first off, I'm wondering what you make of the various research, both from J.P. Morgan Chase, but also from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. What are we learning about the gig economy, who uses it, and how people use it?
So I think it's really interesting that the results of almost every investigation that's been done shows that the gig economy is a very, very tiny part of employment in the U.S. Most people who do this work combine it with other full-time employment or other part-time regular employment. And the J.P. Morgan Chase study was extremely interesting because what they found is not only is this generally part-time work that people are doing, but most people who do it for 3 months or less out of the year.
Now, in the J.P. Morgan Chase report, one of the things that they found was that most of the people who are working in the gig economy, to the extent that they are and for the amount of time they are doing some kind of driving. They're either driving people around or driving food or other kinds of goods from one place to another. Is that consistent with what you have found in your research as well?
Yes, it absolutely is consistent with what we have found. So people were surprised. So gig economy workers are a subset of independent contractors, and people were surprised that independent contractors didn't rise as a share of the economy. But what happened is that if you look at transportation, where the Uber, the Lyft drivers, and the folks that you were describing would be found, there was an increase in independent contractors in that sector. But at the same time, another industry that hires lots of independent contractors is construction. And if we compare 2017 with 2005, which is what we do with the contingent worker survey, the number of independent contractors in construction is down compared with 2005. The number in transportation is up compared with 2005. So yes, we do definitely see the increase in Uber and Lyft drivers and other delivery drivers, but it's not a huge phenomena and it's offset by changes elsewhere. Another interesting thing about the J.P. Morgan Chase study is that looking at drivers, comparing their pay today with pay 5 years ago, and looking only at the months in which they worked, drivers today are making half what they made in a month 5 years ago.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it seems like for so long we've heard that, you know, you can do these kind of gig jobs on your schedule. You can make as much or as little money as you need. You know, you can do it on whenever you want, for how long you want. But it seems as though this is not really a great way in many cases to make a good amount of money.
Well, that's what they show. They show that on average, and this, of course, is people who are mostly doing it part-time, that the drivers are now averaging $783 a month, and that is half of what they were averaging 5 years ago. So it's not nothing, but $783 a month is not going to pay the rent, really.
So in your mind, then, are some of these jobs just sort of the modern day equivalent of, you know, in the past, maybe you'd pick up a few extra shifts at work to make a little extra money, or maybe pick up a part-time retail type job to make a little extra money. Now people are just driving instead of doing those things?
Yes, I think that is exactly what is happening. So they are driving, or in fact, there are other forms of electronically mediated work or platform work, and people are turning to that because there are opportunities there.
Is there any evidence yet to suggest that these jobs and maybe even the amount of money that one can make doing them fluctuates as the economy gets better or worse?
No, what we see is that as the economy gets better, people are more likely to combine this kind of work with a regular job. So maybe in the recession a few years ago, you didn't have any income and you said, well, okay, let me drive my car and see if I can't make some income that way. But as the economy has improved, people have been able to get regular employment. They may not have given up the Uber driving completely, but they're down to a few hours a week.
I'm wondering what you see as the ultimate potential of the gig economy. I mean, do you think where it is now is sort of where it's going to be? Do you see a bigger increase coming at some point?
Yeah, it's hard to predict. I would say if the economy goes into a tailspin, you'll see. I think it's going to be cyclical, like temp work. When the economy goes into a tailspin, then more people are willing to take temp jobs, and companies are leery of hiring permanent employees, and they hire more temp workers. And we may see the same thing with the gig economy. I think many people who tried it discovered that you can't even make minimum wage in many cases. If you're on TaskRabbit or some of the others that are just individual short tasks that get done in minutes, you can't add it up to have an hourly wage equal to the minimum wage. And I know personally people who have just given it up on that basis.
All right. That's Eileen Applebaum, co-director at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Eileen, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure.